Krishna refers to the infallible Lord Vishnu, whose heart is always infallible. Because the devotees are attached to the infallible, they are called Achyutatma. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports the 7th canto, 1st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurpanmilitam Ena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakamitamscha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangam Gangayate Girim Yatapatam Vande Paramananda Madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Satchitananda Vigraha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him, who turned the dumb into eloquent speakers and enabled the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namasate, Tatta, Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Prushabhanu Sate Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupischa Kupasan Dukhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Rinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter has been titled that the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. We have come to the end of the chapter with today's session. How many of you agree with the statement, Supreme Lord is equal to everyone? Anyone has any other opinion? Because we have verses where in Bhagavad Gita it is said that Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, that the Lord is equal to everyone, but at the same time He favors His devotee. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha e bhajanti tu but ma bhaktya mai te desh chatya. So Prabhupada translated, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in need, and I am also a friend to him. And not only that, if you look at the next verse, Abhichendasi Duracharo Bhajate Mam Ananyabha Sadureva Samantavya Samyak Yavasito Hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So we find that Krishna seems to be favoring his devotee, because in the previous verse he says two, but, and in this verse he says even if a devotee commits a mistake unknowingly, it is not deliberately that the person commits a mistake, but unknowingly the mistake is committed by the devotee, then he said, well, that person is forgiven because he is studying in Krishna consciousness. So else we feel, we find that it is Lord is impartial, as in 9.29 Bhagavad Gita says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu is equal to everyone. Like a cloud pours water or rain to all the seeds. But at the same time, someone who renders service to him in Krishna consciousness favorably, he favors that person. And Prabhupada in the purport says that this is natural. Because the devotee sees in the Lord and the Lord also sees the devotee in him. It is reciprocal. So, yathama prapadyante, Lord is reciprocating with the devotee. And we find that Prabhupada mentions it's like the diamond ring. Lord is the diamond and the devotee is the gold. And when the diamond is placed in the gold ring, both enhance each other's beauty. So similarly, the Lord also gets enhanced in the presence of a devotee, and devotee also glitters in the presence of the Lord. So if a reciprocal relationship is not present, Prabhupada says in that purport, if a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personless philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. But in the personal philosophy, there is. So this is the, because the devotee is attached to the Lord, Lord is also attached to the devotee. So the devotee is attached to the Lord, Lord is also attached to the devotee. And we find that this attachment to a pure devotee is not material, it is transcendental. It is the swabhav, it is the nature of the personality of Godhead. And that nature emanates from his internal shakti. It is from the spiritual form of the Lord itself. So therefore, that is not considered to be a fault, that is not considered to be partial, that is considered to be, as Vishnu, I think Balde Vidya Bhushan and Vishnu Chikrita Thakur say, it is an ornament. So that partiality which emanates from the spirit, from the internal Indra, from the Swarup of the Lord, is not considered to be, it's considered to be an ornament, it's considered to be the beauty of the Lord. As Srila Prabhupada said that in the personal philosophy, this relationship always exists. I'll give a simple example. Maybe the devotees who are hearing online, if those devotees are hearing, last Wednesday, I was doing my 9 o'clock service, Arati. So I came to the temple about 8 o'clock. I saw one tall devotee talking to two not that tall devotees, so therefore he had to bend from the back. He was talking to them in the courtyard, unmindful of other people are going, coming and hearing them. But they were so much engrossed in their own talk, and that the way they were engrossed, I felt that they were there together for quite some time before I came there. So I came here about 8 o'clock. They were there well before that. I finished my arati 9:30. I closed the doors of the temple at 9:45, and about to leave at 10 o'clock, still those three devotees were engaged in talking. And I said to them, Prabhu, for the last 2.5 hours, dhai ghante se hum baat kar rahe hain, kya baat kar rahe hain? And all the devotees, invariably they attend Mangalarati. So you can see that the relationship, it's not that the devotees are not equal to everyone, but in there, they're so much attached to each other that they were unmindful of others, and they were deeply involved in their conversation. Standing in the court, and at least they were sitting, one can understand. But they were standing in the courtyard and then talking to each other for more than 2.5 hours. And once again, the next day morning, I came for the darshan service. And I saw once again the devotees. This time, of course, they were sitting. I said, Prabhu, are you continuing from the yesterday's evening? And Prabhu said, no, we are talking for the last, once again, 2 hours. So that's an attachment between two devotees. And therefore, there's nothing wrong there. It is like Prabhupada said, it's an ornament when the Lord is attached, or the devotees are attached to the Lord, and the Lord is reciprocating with that attachment. At the same time, when the Lord is involved in dealing with the demons, we find that there also the demons get benefited. Because the Lord is beyond the most, the Lord is transcendental. Whenever He deals with the demons directly, the demons get benefited. They get promoted. They return back home to the spiritual world. And that's what we find in this pastime. Because we hear Shishupal in that Rajasui Yajna, which Yudhisthira Maharaj was conducting, he was surprised to see the soul of Shishupal entering into the body of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Normally, it is considered to be highly demoniac. If someone is trying to enter into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, His Holiness Banaswami Maharaj said that itself is not a recommended liberation. And if someone is trying to enter into the body of the Lord itself, it is much more demoniac. And here, we find that Shishupal has entered into the body of the Lord, and therefore Yudhisthira Maharaj was surprised, bewildered. He was a close cousin of Lord Krishna, and yet he was bewildered, and therefore he asked the question, how is it possible that Shishupal, who is demoniac, has entered into the body of the Supreme Lord? And he asked this question to Narada Maharaj. So here is a cue for us that a Vaishnava, whenever he is in doubt, does not hesitate to seek clarification from a senior Vaishnava. That shows the humility of the person. Rather than thinking that, well, I know everything, I need not seek clarification. That is not the attitude of a Vaishnava. In his humble position, he tries to seek the clarification. And once he gets the clarification, he is only a conduit, the via media. He tries to pass on that message to the next generation. So now we should understand who is Shishupal. And therefore, Narada Mahamuni is giving the background of Shishupal. That they were, that the same giant Vijay, the two doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Vrishava in the womb of Kesini. They were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. So therefore, Narada Mahamuni is giving the background. And this is once again a lesson for us. Do not judge a person from the externals. We need to understand their background. Why a person is behaving in a particular way. Although this is a challenge to managers like Ananda Prabhu. It's not easy for Ananda Prabhu to deal with people knowing how he is a Vaishnava, but then as a manager he has to correct a person, but at the same time he'll also understand that this person is basically a devotee. So Narada Muni is trying to give the background of Jaya and Vijay. Sorry, he'll give the background of Shishupal, that They were Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, and they were cursed by the four Kumaras. When they were cursed by the four Kumaras, why? Because they felt that here are four small kids and they are trying to enter Vaikuntha. We have it, I think, a board in the paraphernalia room. No kids are allowed to enter that room. So maybe Jai and Vijay also thought that here are the two kids, the four kids. They should not be allowed to enter Vaikuntha. And looking at that discrimination, the four Kumaras said, well, you are trying to look at the dualities, and therefore they curse Jai and Vijay. It is a pastime orchestrated by the Lord, but on the surface of it, we find that Jai and Vijay were cursed and they were born as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Vrishabha in the womb of Kesari. Who is Vrishabha? Anyone? Sorry? Okay, Vrishabha is a sage. His father is Pulastha, if I'm not mistaken. I'm thinking that his father was Pulastha, an exalted rishi. Because Vrishabha is the grandchild of Lord Brahma, and Pulastha is the child of Lord Brahma. And it is said that Lord Brahma spoke or gave Vishnu Puran to Pulastya, and Pulastya in turn passed on to Parasrama Muni, and therefore we find that we would say that Parasrama Muni is the compiler of Vishnu's Vishnu Puran. I think that's how I remember. Maybe I stand corrected. The Vishnava in the womb of Kesari, they were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. And before that, who were they? In their first life, they were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Such powerful demons. And they were, in order to kill them, Lord had to appear. And the second birth, they appeared as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And to once again to kill them, Lord Ramchandra appears. And in the next life, Jai and Vijay appear as Shishupal and Dantavakra. So this is the background which Narada Mahamuni is trying to give to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And if you look at our own background, in what way or to what extent are we different from Jai and Vijay? At the core, they are devotees of the Lord. Apparently, they misused their freedom and received the curse, and they fell into the material world. We were also in the spiritual world and we have misused our free will and we fell into this material world. And we are passing through so many lifetimes, transmigration. So at the core, everyone is a devotee. But due to some reason or the other, we fell into the material world and we are continuing our life. And hence it is said, do not look at the external, look at the background, look at the core. And hence we have the famous saying, hate the sin, not the sinner. Hate the disease, not the disease. That's the lesson we try to learn from this pastor, Yudhishthira Maharaj. And look at the way Lord Krishna, in the next verse, so in the first two lifetimes, as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and then as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they were Rakshasas. Rakshasas mean they were all man-eaters. Now in the third life, Narada said, just to relieve Jaya and Vijaya of the Brahmanas, the Lord Ramachandra appeared with Ravana. Then the next one, 46, in their third birth, the same Jaya and Vijaya appeared in a family of Kshatriyas. So they appeared in a royal family as Kshatriyas, the sons of your own aunt. Because Lord Krishna struck them with his best, all the sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are free from the curse. So, if you look at Shishupal, when he appeared, when he took birth, what was his form? Anyone remember this? He had trinetra, three eyes and four arms. So that's how Shishupal was born. And Shishupal, to look at, I believe he was so ugly that the parents wanted to throw him out immediately. Mahabharata said that they didn't want to have such a child. But with three eyes and four arms. But Mahabharata said that Akashvani says that no, this is not the time to discard the child. That when the time comes, let the time come. But if they were told by the rishis saying that whosoever touches that boy, and at the time the third eye and the two arms will disappear, and that person will be the cause for his death. So his parents, Shishupal's parents, whenever any member comes to their house, they would deliberately place the baby on their lap and see whether the third eye and the two arms disappear. And finally, it was when Lord Krishna came home, and then they placed on Krishna's lap that the third eye and the extra two hands disappeared. Then the mother understand that Krishna will be the cause of Shishupal's death. And as an aunt, she begs for his mercy. He says, please spare my son, he is your cousin. Krishna assures his aunt that I'll tolerate him up to 99 or 100 mistakes. After that, he will not be spared. And many times I think that looking at that past time, Lord Krishna is equally benevolent to us, that he tolerates maybe for 100 births all the mistakes we commit, and then if we do not rectify ourselves, Lord Krishna places us in a demonic family or in a lower animal species. Just as being kind to Shishupal, this is how my feeling is, that he gives us a chance so many times. Because many times in Bhakti Ruksha, people are, I've got the human life, if I commit a mistake in this life, will I become an animal the next life? Just one lifetime I've committed a mistake and then I'm thrown into the animal species of life. Is this what is the scripture saying? So I tend to give this answer, saying that maybe Krishna gives us 100 lifetimes, 100 times he pardons us, and after that if we still become not correctable, then he throws us into the animal kingdom. So here we find that in that Raja Yajna, Shishupal continuously blasphemes Lord Krishna, and after the 99th criticism, Lord Krishna releases Sudarshan Chakra. So therefore here we find Krishna Chakra Hamsa. That the, because Lord Krishna struck them with the disc, all the sinful reactions have been destroyed and now they are free from the curse. So the Krishna so expertly releases the chakra that the it is said that the head is beheaded, not a drop of blood drops in that yajna. Because if the blood drops, if the area becomes polluted, it gets contaminated. Not a single drop of blood is dropping in that arena. Everything is dry and the head is clean, saved or chopped off and then transported out of that area. It with that, you can say with that agility, Lord Krishna releases the chakra. And we find Prabhupada said in the last birth, Jaya did not become demons or Rakshasas. Instead, they took birth in a very exalted Kshatriya family, related to Krishna's family. They related to Krishna. They became first cousins of Lord Krishna, practically on equal footing with them. Previous birth were Rakshasas, but here they were born in a royal family and they were cousins of Lord Krishna. So, cousins are all on equal footing. By personally killing them with his own disc, Lord Krishna destroyed whatever sinful reactions were left in them because of the curse of the Brahmanas. So whatever, when the chakra touched them, then whatever sin was there, that sin was removed. Or the sinful reactions were removed. Nāgūna explained Mahārāj with this that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupāla re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. So we find that Sudarshan Chakra is so powerful, which is the pastime where that is depicted in Bhagavatam? Ambarish Maharaj, thank you. In Ambarish Maharaj's pastime, we find that Durvasamani, he curses or he releases a demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj and Lord Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra appears there. Chases Durvasamani in all the three worlds. He couldn't find shelter anywhere. He tries to take shelter of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu himself says he can't give the shelter. He says, go back to Ambarish Maharaj and then only he can give the shelter. And we can see the power of Sudarshan Chakra. I am trying to read 3-4 verses from the 9th canto, 5th chapter, text number 3 to 6 or 7. Maharaj Ambarish said, O Sudarshan Chakra, you are fire, you are the most powerful sun, and you are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are water, earth, and sky. You are the air, you are the five sense objects, and you are the senses also. That is the power of Sudarshan Chakra. Tvam Agni Bhagavan Suryas, Tvam Somo Jyotisham Patihi, Tvam Apas Tvam Kshitir Vyamo, Vayur Matendriyani Cha. Then the next verse, 4. Sudarshana Namastubhyam Sahasa Achyuta Priya Sarvastra Gatim Vipraya Swasti Bhuya Idaspate. O most favorite of Achyuta, the Supreme Person of Godhead, you have thousands of spokes, O Master of the material world, destroyer of all weapons, original vision of the Person of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly give shelter and be auspicious to this Brahmana. O Sudarshana, you are religion, you are truth, you are encouraging statements, you are sacrifice, and you are the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. You are the maintainer of the entire universe, and you are the supreme transcendental powers in the hands of Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the original vision of the Lord, and therefore you are known as Sudarshana. Everything has been created by your activities, and therefore you are all pervading. So what does Sudarshana mean? Sorry?
Sudarshana is light.
Light. Because these are all the attributes given and described by king. Any, go by the Sanskrit meaning. Sudarshan. Su is auspicious. Darshan is darshan itself. So it means that when we have Sudarshan of the deities every day morning, devotees come running to the temple. What's the consequence of that? Prabhupada says in one of the purports that by having darshan of the Lord in the temple, maybe we are not able to see the Lord properly, but the Lord is observing us. By the observance of the Lord on that individual devotee, the false ego disappears. There is a powerful statement made by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. By having darshan of the Lord, the false ego disappears, or the false ego evaporates. And what does that mean to a devotee? The person becomes liberated from I and me, or I and mine, the bodily concept, and therefore he transcends the Janma Mrtyu Jara Vyadhi and returns back home, back to Godhead. What binds us to the material world is the false ego. And we find that similar pastime where the Brahmana children, they were, the moment the child was born, the child would disappear, and Arjuna gave a vow that if the child is not protected, he is going to commit Agni Pravesh. And at the time when Krishna says, okay, let's go, let's do the universal travel, and he takes Arjuna on the chariot, and as they are reaching the end of the universe, it's pitch dark, complete dark, which bewilders the mind. Arjuna was shaken with the darkness. So if the mind is bewildered and illusion, then the intelligence is further subtler and it gets much more affected. Because mind is actually born of mode of goodness, but intelligence is mode of passion. And false ego is much more under the influence of mode, because it's born out of mode of ignorance. And what shows them the light is Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra, like a blazing fire, is in the front, illuminating the dark layers of the universe, and they cross with the universal layers and enter into the dham where Lord Vishnu was there. And Lord Vishnu was eagerly waiting for Lord Krishna so that he can have darshan. So that is the power of Sudarshan, that when we have the darshan, our false ego disappears and we return back home, back to Godhead. And that has been the campaign for the last 4 years that we started the Divya Darshan Yajna. And hence we give the title, it's a window to the spiritual world. And every day we are making an attempt to share the darshan of our temple. And it's reaching out to so many thousands every day morning. They have the darshan, it means that their false ego is disappearing. And the rich man Bhagavatam verse given there, what they discuss in the temple, that removes that ignorance. So they are moving towards Vaikuntha. And taking the cue from Ananda Prabhu, I started posting on Instagram. The last week Prabhu said, why not? Instagram is better in terms of pictures, quality. therefore we started posting.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Bells is divine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like radio.
Okay, then we'll do that. So that's the in the last verse seven six sorry. Namaha sunapa kila dharma setave hi adharma silasura dhuma ketave trailokya gopaya vishuddha varchase mano jaya jaya bhaka karmane grine. O Sudarshana, you have a very auspicious heart and therefore you are the upholder of all religion. You are just like the inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You are as quick as the mind and you are able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word Namaha, offering all obeisances unto you. So this is the power of Sudarshan Chakra. And hence, here Narada Muni says that because Lord Krishna struck them with his disc, Sudarshan Chakra, all the sinful reactions have been destroyed. But not the power of Sudarshan Chakra. And now they are free from the curse. So Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhishthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupal re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. This is text 46. Commenting on this verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said that their sin was destroyed by Krishna's chakra. Their offense was external only. So lesson for us, that their offense was external only. They took the forms of Shishupal Dantavakra, but they were not killed. Implying the souls were not killed. This is Sridhara Swami's explanation. Just as the impurities of gold are destroyed by fire, but the gold itself is not destroyed, so the two were purified of the external covering of contamination, but were not destroyed. Jay and Vijay, in the form of two masks of effulgence, entered Krishna as was seen by the public. So any curse given by a pure devotee or an exalted Vaishnava is a blessing to that individual. We have another pastime where the demigods were cursed to become trees. Malakuvera, they became trees. And imagine when the Nalakuvera became trees, they retained the consciousness of the demigods. It's not that they were become trees and therefore they had the consciousness of a tree. I believe they had the consciousness of Nalakuvera, the original consciousness, that they were demigods, not of the soul but the demigod. And in that consciousness, they were as the trees. Rain would fall, they are subject to heat, and because they had the consciousness of Nalakuvera, they were experiencing all that. A typical tree does not experience this. If a mosquito sits on the tree, or the rain falls on the tree, or the summer scorching sun touches this tree, the tree doesn't feel it because its consciousness is so low. Therefore, we cut the tree. It does experience, I don't know whether it experiences any pain, but people say that it doesn't experience much pain. Although when you do the lawn mowing, it is said that the grass releases certain chemicals displaying its agony. So here you can imagine Nalapu Vera were experiencing all the external factors of the material world for how many days? Not for one day, not for 2 days, not for 3 days. For thousands and thousands of years. And when they became humble, purified, at the time when Krishna appears. And they return back. So the lesson we learned from this pastime is that never judge a person from the externals. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Hate the disease, not the disease. And we also should remember that we were like, maybe like Jay Vijay, or we were in the spiritual world. But we have misused our free will and we fell in this material world. Whatever lessons we learned through parampara, mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, to the extent that we become purified, we share that compassion with others so that we all can move together to the spiritual world. Yeah, I'll stop at this stage. Any question, any comment? Sorry?
You said 100 births, we get 100 births.
Oh, this is normally when we are conducting Bhakti Ruksha, the members they ask us, if we just commit one lifetime of mistakes, then will we be pushed into the lower species of life? I tend to give them the pastime of Shishupal. I say that Lord Krishna has tolerated 100 times or 100 mistakes of Shishupal, and therefore similarly Krishna would be kind to us, but does not mean that on this plan knowingly we commit mistakes.
I don't think that's in the Bhagavad Gita, is it?
No problem.
What do you think of the time of death? That's the place that you go.
Yeah.
That's our philosophy, isn't it?
That is true.
I'm not sure whether it's ever been, but you've got 100 births. You can make 100. That means you tell them, it's okay, you can do what you like for 100 births, and which one is not.
We caution them that it's not on the strength of that we try to do the mistake, but it's we have a pastime here, and therefore you can feel comfortable that yes, if you are by chance of doing some mistakes unknowingly, the Lord is there to protect us. It's not that okay, in one lifetime you have done something, immediately you have spent millions of lifetimes or millions of years to come to this human form of life, and in one lifetime I did a mistake, and then I'm going back into the lower species of life.
Well, I think that's in philosophy, isn't it?
Sorry?
That's what we read in the Bhagavad Gita. Can't sugarcoat it. Surely. So Shishupala is a unique personality with not to be imitated. We should be honest with people. We should present Bhagavad Gita.
No, we do present Prabhupada. It is when a person coming for the first time is coming to the Bhakti Ruksha, and then you are taking the class, this person says that I do one mistake in this lifetime, will I be thrown into the lower species of life?
Yeah, but generally, it's not one mistake. it's a sequence of events that puts you into the animal species. If you make a mistake, that's generally overlooked. But if it's a sequence of events where you're developing the consciousness of an animal, then that's what you get. You get the animal. You get to take birth as an animal. It's not just one little.
So what the text said, well, my father is a meat eater and he has died. You think that my father, he's otherwise a very nice person. He complied with the state law.
He's not a nice person if he's a meat eater.
Because is it, this is what, you think my father become an animal now? Only one lifetime?
Yes. That's our philosophy. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches.
Yes,
you eat animals, you have to be punished for that, unfortunately. Now, oh, no, it's okay. Just a little mistake.
We tell them that, well, at the end, and antakalecha, whatever you think at the end, that is going to be the, obviously, that the law of last conscious birth. At the time of departure, what you are thinking, that would determine the your next life. At the same time, we give some sort of a caveat or a comfort, saying that, look, well, that has happened, but you become a good devotee, and then you can deliver your father. It's not that your father has done, is gone, it's over, that event is over. And you become a nice devotee. There's another pastime where you can not only yourself, but you can benefit your previous 20 generations and also the next 20 generations.
Yeah, well, that's true, but we can't sugarcoat the fact that impious behavior gives a particular type of result.
Huh? Yeah.
We've got to be fair about that. That's why Krishna is equal to everybody. That's what we're studying at the moment. You know, what is it? As you sow, so you shall reap. But certainly, if you take the Krishna consciousness, consistently practice, you'll be relieved of those reactions. But that's okay, make a little mistake. But actually, making a little mistake is generally overlooked, especially for the devotees. But if it's a sequence of events, that's where it comes your karma, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was just a thought.
Any question in the comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you mentioned your good devotee, Hare Krishna. You mentioned your good devotee giving a curse to your sinner, it is actually a bliss. Is it really the way it is going to work, or it is not? Is it a fact actually? What is the main implications of this? What do you want to why at all you should give a curse? And your idea when they should be correct other person. And even if the curse is given, whether it is going to reflect on it in a bad way, good way, what is the other person?
And I understood your question. A good devotee will curse a person who has committed a sin. Is that the, what was the second part of the question?
Will it really work actually?
Will it really work?
Curse.
The
curse. The curse, will it really work on him?
Yeah. If you are, the purer the person is,
you said bless, it will be a blessing for
you. Yeah, the receiver becomes blessed because the person who is cursing does not have any envy in their heart. He is trying to benefit the receiver, as in the past tense we find there that Narada Mahamuni has cursed Nalakubera for their benefit, because they were demigods, children of Kubera, but they were in a drunken state, even to the extent that they did not keep care for an exalted personality like Narada Mahamuni. So how do they get benefited? If Narada Mahamuni does not chastise them, when will they return back home, back to Godhead? Out of compassion, Narada Mahamuni curses them in such a way that not only they get purified, they'll have darshan of Lord Krishna himself. We may think that thousands and thousands of years, but we have been in this material world for billions of years. And in front of eternity, these thousands of years is nothing. But the result is they were purified. Just as we have the prison.
So the bliss is only a purification.
Sorry?
Bliss is only a purification.
The curse, when an exalted Vaishnava curses, it is for the purification, the correction. Just as a police officer gives the punishment, it is for the prisoner benefit. Provided the police officer is sincere. The judge gives the punishment, the criminal, it is not that the judge has got some enviousness toward the person. He awards the judgment for the person's benefit. So Devashila Prabhupada says many times that a devotee king awards execution, a capital punishment to a criminal, it is in the interest of that person. The person gets benefit. In just one lifetime, the person washes away all the sins he has done. Because our philosophy is transmigration. It's not just we have only one lifetime that, and there's nothing after that. We move from one lifetime to the other. So therefore, if you're washing away in one lifetime your sins, next lifetime you're starting the clean slate. And with that you return back home, back to Godhead. And once you go back to Godhead, you do not return back to this material world. That's Krishna's promise in Bhagavad Gita. Was there any question?
Yeah, no, I'm not justified. This money thing was the curse which we give. Is it a kind of a bless? That's what it
is. Yeah, from a pure devotee, it is a bless. Yeah, Prabhupada. I'm sorry. Yes, Prabhupada.
It's not that we get away and curse people.
Yeah, that doesn't.
These curses are quite unique. And they're coming from very exalted persons. So we see Jaya and Vijaya cursed by the Sanat Kumar.
Four Kumaras.
Chatush Kumar is unique. The cursing of
Narada
Muni to Manigri for another there is unique. And in each case, the outcome was beneficial for everybody. Even though they were demons, you know, there was a purpose for Krishna. So, these are unique curses. You know, it's not that we should be out there cursing people. They are. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Not only beneficial to them, but it's also beneficial to us for listening to that pastime.
Yeah.
Palasruti.
That's right. So, something to be meditated on, but perhaps not imitated.
Yeah.
But just in case you're throwing out a few beneficial curses.
That is one of the qualities of a soul. Valde Vidya Bhushan says in Bhagavad Gita that the more a person becomes purer, he reflects the quality of the soul. And what are the soul's quality? One of the qualities is truthfulness. So therefore, when a person utters something, that becomes true.
And also represents the will of Krishna.
Yeah.
Faithfully.
Any other question, comment?
No. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Narayana has like four eyes and Shiva has three eyes. But how if you see Shishupal, he was born with three eyes and four eyes. So just is there any reason behind his birth in like three eyes and four eyes? Or is it only just to give indication to his mother that whoever picks him? So third eye of two extra eyes will get removed. Is there any reason behind that or any indication? Is it only the indication to his mother?
I don't remember that your question you're asking, but what I can say is that the child is not having a normal form. It's not a normal form and neither normal consciousness. And that form requires to be corrected, and the person who corrects it is the cause of his death. We have even Ashtavakra, the Vedic literature says that he was cursed and therefore received eight vakras, eight bands. And the people looking at him, they laugh. But he counter laughs at them, saying that you are so ignorant that you are looking at my external form, not my internal consciousness. The lesson we learn from this is do not judge a person from the external, based on externals. Unknowingly, you may be rubbing an exalted personality. And that could hamper your own spiritual progress. And as a Vaishnava, Bhagavad Gita says that there are two qualities we need to cultivate. In 13.8, Krishna says amanitvam, that humility. And the second quality is gratitude. These two qualities are the ornaments for a Vaishnava. And embrace these qualities, cultivate them, nurture them, and that they remain with us, they help us in our spiritual journey. The moment we get up in the morning, be grateful that the Lord has given one more day to serve Him. This is what Raghunath Goswami says in Manasiksha. Be grateful. We take things for granted. We are not grateful. We don't have an attitude of gratitude. The person who brought us to Krishna consciousness, how much grateful we should be to that person, has made a U-change or a U-turn in our life. And we forget that so easily. humility. Humility is an ornament, because without humility we won't be able to serve Vaishnavas, and without serving Vaishnavas, how do we get the blessings? Without getting the blessings, how can we undertake spiritual journey? So therefore, humility and gratitude, we should cling on, hold on tightly. That will propel us on the spiritual journey. Yeah. Have I answered your question, or have you answered? Any other question or comment? Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vanchakalpa Dorobhyascha Kripasindhu Bhyayecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Yeah.